Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Ladies and gentlemen, time once again for another edition of Tuesdays with Neil. Welcome, sir.
As always, Tuesday or any day, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, so this is one of those lull periods right now for the NFL. We've talked about the schedule. We've talked about the draft. So it gives everybody a chance to settle to see what the landscape is. So let's start with the Steelers. What is the landscape of the Steelers as we head into Memorial Day weekend?
I think, generally speaking, they have to be pretty happy with what they've been able to put together to this point. And it's been a very specific and very targeted approach this offseason. And most recently, they locked up backup quarterback for them on a deal that I haven't seen terms of this yet, but by and large, it's a market deal. And you have him, from what I've gathered to this point, for the next three seasons. That's probably a good move. With a young quarterback that has, well, some injury history, it's a good idea to get the veteran in there that's played in this offense. I understand they also signed Mason Rudolph, but Rudolph hasn't really played in this offense.
Right.
That was not the offense. The last time Rudolph played, it was not the offense they're playing in now. It's not the same thing. Trubisky has the experience with the structure that they're currently running in. Granted, not a ton, but I think we saw enough in his final performance to say, okay, this situation is probably a better fit for him. He is also probably not going to get a starting opportunity elsewhere, having to start over.
Mm-hmm.
This is his career path, and it's a very lucrative career path. So a smart move, and I would put that intellectually at the same level as Isaac Ciamolo, the guard they signed out of Philadelphia, which is probably their best move this offseason. Not comparing talent or skill or contributory factor, but just philosophically, they fit what this team is building itself to do. And they're both strategic moves, spending wise money the right way on players for a very specific purpose. That seems to be really kind of the theme to this point, and I think they've hit very well. I'm not really confused with any of the moves that they're making. I would say, if anything, some shakeup in the secondary, considering the players they're bringing in, kind of suggests schematic change there. They haven't publicly said that yet, but I don't know what else you are intending to do when you bring in Joey Porter Jr. With Trice as well. These are two press cornerbacks with size, with length. They're looking to play that style of football within their coverage. We'll see how formally that works out. But when you cut Akella Witherspoon after getting a look at the rookies that you just brought in, I would say odds are pretty good that they're looking to implement that different technique from what they've run pretty much since Mel Blount retired. That's a good strategic move for a team that relies heavily on a pass rush. Do something with your secondary to be more aggressive in trying to take away quick game opportunities, which they've gotten gashed on several times over the last couple of years. To do something like that shows they have a solid plan, there's solid reasoning behind it, and they're bringing in the personnel to fit that. I think it's a win on offense for what they did along their offensive line. I think it's a win on defense of what they're doing within their secondary. And these were fairly significant problems, really, over the last, three seasons to this team, if not longer. Some would argue forever. This is the right direction for them to go. And they're really putting the team in the best position to succeed possible. Now, does that mean 13 wins? I don't know if they're that talented. I do like what they're doing schematically. I do like what they're choosing to do in terms of personnel. I feel like this can come together pretty well, and at the very least, they'll be a very tough team to beat. Are they going to be somebody that's going to, you know, just burn somebody for 30 points every single game? I don't know. I don't know if they're that talented, but they're going to be a difficult team to prepare for, and they're going to be a difficult team to beat. And I think that's a good spot to be, considering where they have been. They've had to pull off miracles in the second half of the last couple seasons. They should be more competitive right away, and I think that can get them to the double-digit win mark this season. And from there, who knows? I mean, we've seen a lot of upsets in the NFL. Teams are coming on later and playing better football down the stretch. That's really kind of their MO, and I think they can buy a little bit more breathing room this year, unlike the last two seasons where they've had to go gangbusters over the last, what, six, seven, eight games in order to be in a position to either make the playoffs in overtime at the end of the last game played that season, or just miss the playoffs in week 18 as well. So it's solid moves, good direction. I don't know. Get into the draft. It's a great draft for what they're trying to do as well. The dividends that they're looking to pay on that, will they get a whole lot back right away from their draft class? Always remains to be seen. We don't know. We love it on paper. Let's see what happens when they get pads on and get out there. But really nothing to not like about the guys that they're bringing in. And I think that should fill them with a good amount of optimism. The team that's on the rise played really well at the end of last year with the rookie quarterback. They got a lot out of him down the stretch. I every reason that we've seen to this point suggests they're going to be a better team this year.
What does, now we're getting a real feel for what Omar Khan and his front office staff can do, because they're shaping this roster. What's your evaluation of them now that you're starting to see it in practical application?
I think that's kind of a two-part, because I say this because everyone wants to credit Khan with everything.
Oh no! Yeah, right. It's more. That's fairly, why I mentioned the staff.
Yeah. To address it specifically, most people are saying now that all these things are happening now that Kevin Colbert's out of the way. One, I'm not even entirely sure he's 100% out of the way. Two, Colbert's front office, in my opinion, probably does all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes up to you and says, we'll take Chase Claypool and we'll give you a second round pick out of it. We've got a tenuous at best quarterback position in the first year of a new head coach, a second round pick for a team that is sitting seventh in the second round when they make the trade is a no brainer. The fact that turned into in a year that there's a, you know, one less first round pick, that's a boon. That's not specific to the general manager, because frankly, I don't think any general manager, with the exception of Ryan Poles, the Bears, would not have made that move
right
from the Steelers end of it. And it worked out very well. They've made, I think these are kind of no brainers. Does Andy Weidel have stay over Siamalu's decision to sign with the Steelers, or does Siamalu see a chance to be a starting player, getting paid a lot of money, playing in an offense that suits his talents very well? He's an RPO guy. They've played in that. Very disciplined. He knows what to do. He brings that veteran savvy. That's a really, from his perspective, that's a move that's like, they really need you. You're going to be a high-value guy on this team. I don't necessarily think that's the front office so much as this is really a no-brainer for both sides. It's a great move. I'm not trying to denigrate anybody or take credit away from anybody for it. I think they've done an excellent job. I'm just saying that I think a lot of these moves are pretty in line with the Steelers' MO when the opportunities are there. We've known that they've been restructuring their offense. They want to run RPOs consistently. In fact, I believe they ran more RPOs than any team in the NFL over the last two seasons. That's going to continue. You can see what they're trying to do. They're getting the personnel to do that. They got a bully of a left tackle, which, to be fair, Kevin Colbert rarely ever traded up in the first round, and he never drafted an offensive tackle in the first round. So give Khan credit to, you know, where it's due, but I also think that that's kind of a no-brainer move for who Broderick Jones is and what they needed. That move, I think, is fairly routine. Most general managers would think to make that move themselves. But it's another piece to the larger picture that they're putting together. Jones fits in with an RPO mentality as well. They want to run the ball. They want to play quick game themselves. They want to get the ball to playmakers in space. And a guy like Jones might not be the best, you know, drop step, pass protecting left tackle in the league, but he's going to be a bully on day one. Mm-hmm. You get him out in space, get the timing down. He releases when he's supposed to release. He's crushing people. You see it all the time on his film. If he does anything, it's that. The guy is an amazing athlete. A great fit for what they're trying to do. Makes perfect sense. I'd give them nothing short of an A. I mean, they made all the moves that they really needed to make, and they added a little bit as well. You've heard me praise Darnell Washington. I don't think tight end was a position that they expected to address in the draft, but the value of him in the third round is ridiculous, in my opinion. There's no way, unless he's, you know, going to play 3 years due to the injuries that he has. Even then, if you can make hay out of that guy for 3 years, I think you're going to get a lot out of it. That makes their sub-package offensive play a lot more versatile. Gives them a lot more depth. There's a lot of things that they can do with a great all-around tight end like Washington is, and a guy that at his core is physical. He's a tough guy to get around. He's a tough guy to cover down the field. That's a great move. You know, it wasn't a position of need if you look at things, but they drafted their positions of need, in my opinion. They got rid of what they needed too early with three great picks for where they were taken. To add that kind of a piece for the fourth guy you took in the draft, that's, you know, front office A for me, offseason as in free agency A for the draft as well. You put all that together. I don't think they missed on a move. I don't say that often. Mm-hmm. I feel good about everybody that they took where they took them.
Agreed, across the board. This is also, you know, we talked about the schedule and across the board what they do with the schedule. The NFL dominates every day, it seems, and they dominate every day in the fall and into the wintertime as well. Is there any thought on your part, Neil, that at some point they're overplaying the hand, or is it they're just that good and they know it?
I think they are that good, or not. They are overplaying their hand at the same time. I think there comes a point that your end game is not going to be to have professional football with the NFL brand on it every night, every week, throughout the entire year. So when do you pull the reins in? When do you say leaving them wanting more is a sound business strategy over a long period of time? Now, every commissioner and every owner that's been there has been a part of some type of expansion within the NFL. That's the sign of a healthy, strong business, which the NFL is. It's a product that people still want. The new generation, they've adapted very well to the end of the Manning versus Brady era and the fantasy football, you know, explosion. And they've capitalized on that to use the best of what they have, along with the new talent that's coming in, to kind of, you know, in a way, redesign their product a bit. They've changed the rules up a bunch. People are still watching, still engaged. People are still complaining. These are all things that, believe it or not, are healthy signs of business. People care a lot about the product. So I don't know, in my opinion, if I was in the boardroom, I would say, do we really need to mess with the schedule more? We want that 18th game. I logically, I would agree. I think an even number balances things out a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, they've done that, so there's historical precedent. It's a negotiating point with the union, which can, whether they get an 18th game or not, they're going to get or be able to avoid something significant from the union. There's value in that, so we'll keep pressing the idea that that's what we want. But as far as the days of the week go, I don't think it's a good idea to really go into more. I think part of the real value of the NFL is that locked in structure. You know, you talk to fans about why the NHL or the NBA doesn't really interest them, and invariably the conversation comes around to not just the amount of games, but the sporadic nature of them. They're sort of spread out. It's hard to get into a flow and a rhythm. With football, you have it. You know this can become kind of a center point of your week. You're going to watch your team play on Sunday or Monday or Thursday. But you add in Friday, you add in Saturday, now it just kind of gets all over the place. And it you know, in a way, this might not be the best way to express it, but in a way it sobers you up a little bit. It kind of makes you see the whole picture of it. Players are openly complaining about playing on different days and not being able to have that routine themselves. To me, I really, you know, I'm kind of a purist in this way. I think Sunday games with a Sunday night spotlight and a Monday night spotlight makes the most sense for everybody. I think it draws in the most national interest. It's not the most profitable. It's not the easiest way to drum up new broadcast opportunities. And I get that, but at some point you kind of have to say, we don't want to oversaturate. There are so many things that do that, and they'll ride her till she kicks them off and end up probably getting less in the long run than they could have if they just kind of stuck with what they had. Money is still being generated. You know, mm-hmm. People are still watching this. You're going to continue to grow, and you have. I don't think that you need a team in London. I don't think that you need games on Tuesday nights.
Nope.
I think that you have what you need in front of you, and your job now is to maintain it. Don't worry about more exposure elsewhere. Let the product speak for itself. Don't try to mess with it too much. That's just me. That's not the pure black and white bottom line mm-hmm. business perspective, but I think I have a certain level of insight to this that represents both sides. This might be the best way to go about it, is all I'm saying.
Right. I've got just 2 minutes here, but you work with a lot of young people on your staff at SI.com. When you talk to them, do the vast majority of them stream, or do they still go with linear options?
Oh, they stream. Stream. It's the ability to stream for what we do that mirrors the fans in a lot of ways, and we probably should be alongside of that. In the second screen experience world, you need to be able to see everything that's going on. Right. So in many cases, usually what it is, whether it's laptop, your phone and TV, but they're watching a game and they have Red Zone channel on. And along with that, they're viewing social media in some way. I think that's sort of the way people are going to consume the NFL product moving forward. And that's a good thing. I think it spreads out a lot more. I'm from the era where you got your local team's games and that was it. It was the coolest thing in the world when we found a Steelers bar in St. Paul when I was like 14 years old, because then we could watch every Steelers game. We didn't get to do that. The streaming option gives you that plus everything else that's going on. And there are a lot more reasons today than there were 20 years ago to be invested in every single game. You have fantasy / gambling, whether that's one component or two, you have a lot of other interests beyond just your team. And I think as media professionals, you need to monitor that and you need to know what's going on everywhere else. But my opinion is it's because that's how fans are consuming it now. So mm-hmm. lining yourself up with that is a good idea professionally.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, lining it up like that is the smart move. I think the NFL's been smart because they dabbled with Amazon Prime. Now they've lost about 40% of their audience doing it. But it's also the beginning spot as well. Neil?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the beginning. I mean, that's all it is. And I think it gives them an idea whether it works or not.
I mean, you got to test it out. You have to see it. You can't not do it. I mean, streaming isn't the future. Streaming is today.
Yeah.
So you need to figure out where the challenges are and what you need to do to incorporate that into your brand.
Sir, always a pleasure.
Definitely. Always a pleasure on my end as well. Thanks for having me.